get in and out. That appears to have taken place, so you may proceed.
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning. I'm Joy Shepherd Miller. I'm here on behalf of Todd Steckelberg, and this is a public records case. I would ask to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, if I can. With respect to this case, Trooper Steckelberg had applied for a position.
Just one second. Justice Stacy is recused in this matter.
Okay.
So we'll give her time to leave also.
Very good.
Very good. Thank you very much. You may
Thank
proceed.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Trooper Steckelberg had applied for a promotion. Well, it wasn't really a promotion. It was a lateral transfer. He wanted to go from being a trooper over to the Executive Protection Division. And after he applied for that and was denied that move, then he asked for an opportunity to simply review his score sheets, the comments and recommendations from the board, the committee that makes decisions like this, and they make a recommendation to the colonel on who should be given the promotion or the lateral transfer, as it were. The reason I keep saying promotion is there would have been a difference in pay to him because of overtime, items like that, so I apologize for that mistake. After he was denied the position, then he just asked so he could see his score sheets and how that would go. His request was denied outright. He asked, asking because they said it was confidential, and he asked, how could my own records be confidential? How could you not release my records? Well, then we made a public records request using the language of the statute and said, we are requesting opportunities to inspect or obtain copies of the public records related to this position. We made that request on April 9th of 2015, and under the statute, the custodian of the records is to provide that information as soon as practicable and without delay, but not more than 4 business days after the receipt of the request.
Counsel, at that point, you're proceeding as if it didn't matter what connection your client had as an employee. You're proceeding as if he were just John Q. Public.
That's correct. He's a citizen of this state.
So
he has a right to the records.
If it's not excluded under the Act.
Exactly.
Doesn't this case turn upon whether it's subsection 7 or subsection 15 that applies?
I would say it, other than the fact that it's our argument that once they've chosen,
now we'll get to that.
Subsection 15.
We'll get to that. But
correct. It's one or the other.
It's
those are the only.
Those are the only two
exceptions.
And would you agree that if it is subsection 7, in other words, if that can be applied at the point that we are at this point?
Yes.
That's the end of the inquiry. The personnel records would not be released to John Q. Public.
Well, I disagree that that the documents that were requested are personnel records, because subsection 7 specifically says personal information regarding personnel other than salary and routine directory information. So it says personal information regarding personnel is what's actually withheld. And I would submit that even Ms. Trooper Steckelberg's personal information is not withheld from him.
Well, but that gets back to his status.
Right.
He can't be both an employee and John Q. Public in this public records request. The public records statute confers something on the public. It doesn't confer something additional on employees, right?
I would say that that's true, yes.
And so, consequently, there are two potential exemptions.
Correct.
And I guess my reading of 7 and 15, my reading of 15, it just doesn't apply, even though that's what they apparently thought applied, but 7 would protect the information.
I disagree.
Okay, and now try to elucidate me on that.
The reason I disagree is because what he actually requested is not personal information, but what he requested is the score sheets, the conclusions of the committee making the decision, and their recommendations on up on who ought to get this position.
And what did the trial court judge say about that?
What did she say about that?
Yes.
She said that they weren't public records to begin with. She said we'd not met our burden of proof to say that they were public records, and I submit, and I think that this Attorney General's office agrees with me that they were public records.
Did she not comment, however, on whether or not there was personal information in the records?
She commented that she believed that they were, I think she simply said that she believed that they were protected by subsection 7. I disagree.
Weren't there characterizations of your client in those records?
I have no idea because we have not even been given an opportunity to look at the records.
Well,
so I'm not
either,
certain
so.
Whether there were characterizations of my client, but even if there were characterizations of my client, I don't believe that that's personal information about my client. That is somebody's assessment of who they are recommending to be promoted to this position, and that's not personal information about my client. Who knows? They might have just, I don't know for sure what they would have
suppose
done.
A personnel record says something to the effect of people report that this employee goes to the bar and is drunk most of the time. That clearly would be personal information, wouldn't it? I mean, it's not derived from that person, but it's about that person, and that person might very well not want that sort of thing out in the public domain.
What the state actually said is that the information commented on relationships to other personnel and attitudes toward management in general and the Nebraska State Patrol specifically. That's what they said, and that it might cause friction if the matter was released.
Okay.
Personal information.
If the employee who's being talked about comments about some other employee and says they're a bad person and I hate working with them, wouldn't an employee not want that information to be released to the public?
Judge, I disagree, and I disagree that, I mean, that when they're talking about committee sheets and their recommendations on Dr. Colonel, I disagree that that's what was asked for.
All right.
And I'm going to reserve my 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Lopez, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the Court, David Lopez, Assistant Attorney General, appearing for the patrol. The rule that Trooper Steckelberg desires this Court to adopt would directly contradict the de novo review portion of the Public Records Act, District Court Review Statute, and place Nebraska at odds with virtually the entirety of federal FOIA jurisprudence on the waiver rule. As a preliminary matter, from a merits standpoint, we think that the application of sub 7, the personal information statute, fairly easily applies given the district court's factual determinations on page 50, at the bottom of page 50 of the transcript, basically concluding as a factual matter that the information contained in the requested documents was personal information.
Can you back up? Is your position is that all exemptions are in play? Can be in play?
At this stage? Well, or at the district court stage?
Well, at the agency level.
I guess, Justice Miller-Wehrman, I want to clarify a little more specifically which stage you're referring to, because
well,
I think
the review, let me try it this way. Is there a de novo review at the agency level?
I mean, there is from the standpoint, I mean, it's not a legal or judicial proceeding, obviously, but there is from the standpoint that the agency, whether it's counsel or, frankly, this would apply to any other public body, whoever is responsible for responding to the public records request can determine at that point which exemption they determine is appropriate.
Whether or not that exemption has previously been discussed or considered.
I don't know what stage would precede that, since that's their first sort of shot at responding to the request.
Is that a judicial proceeding?
No. In fact, I think even if you look at the federal FOIA decisions, they've made a distinction themselves. The federal courts interpreting the waiver rule have made a distinction between administrative proceedings, which appear to be even more formal than what we have in Nebraska law, which basically consists of the agency responding by letter, making its first characterization of what exemption would apply, than some kind of formalized.
I guess I'm just trying to figure out at what point are the parties committed to claiming a certain exemption does or doesn't apply, or is it always open and is it open in front of us to?
Well, our position is, at least as the facts present themselves in this case, that the point at which the state or the public entity asserting an exemption to a public records disclosure is at the mandamus proceedings before the court. And I think there's not only is that consistent with the statute, which indicates that the district court will review the question de novo, it's obviously consistent with the FOIA decisions, which we've set forth in our brief, which, as a side note, actually clarified that there could even be exceptions beyond that in the federal FOIA context where a new exemption could be relied on appeal.
Well, I'm trying to figure out from a roughly due process standpoint, you know, do the folks know what exemption is being pursued? Was the mandamus decided on an exemption other than that asserted by the agency?
It was in this case, and I think that's permissible, both in the case law and consistent with the statute's language that the district court reviews the issue de novo.
Would there be a manner or a method in which Mr. Steckelberg could have obtained this information other than by seeking it under the Public Records Act? In other words, suppose he files a claim of employment discrimination. Does he not then have a right to see the basis upon which he was not granted this lateral transfer?
Well, Justice Wright, he has actually filed an employment discrimination claim. It's pending in federal court.
Okay, and would that issue come up in that case as far as whether or not he has access to those records?
Potentially, and whether those would be records.
Why wouldn't he not have access to his own records if he's filing a discrimination case against the state patrol?
Well, let me answer that question in two ways, because as it pertains to the other litigation that he's filed against the state, and it's at the MTD, at the motion dismiss level, Judge Girard has dismissed it. Dismissal proceedings on the second amendment complaint. If he were to proceed beyond that, he would obviously have discovery rights in federal. That would be a separate question as to whether some of these documents or others, whether they're his or regarding other troopers who applied for the executive protection position, could be disclosed to him through discovery. The question before this court is whether he, as Justice Castle characterized in earlier argument.
Well, I mean, but there's got to be more to this than just a curiosity inquiry about what the reason was I didn't get the lateral transfer. Evidence is, they want the evidence so they can use it in a suit against the state. Isn't that what's...
I don't think that's relevant to this court's analysis at all in terms of his rights under the public records.
Well, my point was he has some remedy somewhere to get access to his records if he's making a claim.
Perhaps. Perhaps as a discovery.
But it's just not in this case.
No. Okay. Not as a interested member of the public,
right,
seeking disclosure of public records. The fact that he has, you know, one or two other pending cases and litigation against the state, I think is totally irrelevant to that particular question as to whether...
Well, that wasn't the point I was trying to make. I was just trying to make the point that he might have access to those records in a different forum.
Yes, he might. Obviously subject to the discovery issues there. And I think that the argument that we would focus on, because we think that the sub 7 application is pretty clear based on the district court's factual conclusions, which according to this court's
did the plaintiff suffer some prejudice by your sort of switch from the initial inquiry at the patrol, and then when you get to the mandamus and you're in court and you use subsection 7 instead of 15?
None at all. And that touches on the application of whether the equitable estoppel doctrine could apply. And of course, there's, as we've set out in our brief, there's other requirements and elements of that test to determine whether the court, whether the state would be prohibited by the collateral estoppel doctrine from changing its asserted basis. And not only is there no showing of prejudice to Mr. Steckelberg, there is no showing of bad faith or a false representation on the part of the state in the initial assertion of sub 15, which we concede does not apply. And then ultimately, there's no showing that this is the type of manifest injustice that must be prevented, and which must be shown in order for the doctrine to be applied against the state.
What was the scope of the review in the mandamus?
It's a de novo review according to the statute.
And does that somehow invite new evidence or new legal theories?
Well, I think any evidence that he would want to, well, he has to make a prima facie showing that he's, that there are public records, that he's an interested person, etc. Then it's our burden to, if we want to assert some exemption under under the statute, it's our burden to prove with clear and convincing evidence that an exemption would apply.
So your view of it is that the mandamus, you can assert any exemption notwithstanding it may or may not have been considered.
Yes.
In the initial, I don't even know what to call it, consideration.
Yes, in the initial denial letter. Okay. Yes, that is absolutely the state's position. That's consistent with the FOIA determinant, the FOIA cases on the waiver rule. We think that's consistent with the statute itself. We think it also makes practical sense, and I can conclude on sort of the policy ramifications of that. If we were bound, and if the state were bound, or any public entity were bound by whatever the agency, which may have been represented by counsel, may not have been at the initial denial level, if we're bound by what they asserted, and that winds up being wrong, not only do we risk potentially waiving and having records which should not be disclosed, in this case, which presents security issues, be disclosed, but could also, but would put us in a position of being thoroughly unhelpful to the district court.
Well, what's the contrary argument, that you should be bound?
I don't know what the policy benefits of us being bound at the denial letter stage really are, to be candid. I think that...
Would that advise, in this case, John Q. Public? That's the position of the state?
I guess I don't understand the question.
Well, you're saying it's better not to be bound, and then as the case proceeds, you can invoke a new theory and a new statute, and then your opponent's going, whoa, heard of that before.
Well, certainly.
Is that okay?
Is
there a due process issue here? Is there some reason that it's either an admission or something to that effect, or admission?
And I see I'm about to run out of time, if I could answer your question.
You may.
I think that would certainly be the case if I had come to this court and asserted a new exemption that we had never even discussed before. But I don't think there's any due process concern where we're asserting the correct and proper exemption for the district court to analyze at when it actually goes to formal litigation as opposed to the denial letter, which may or may not have been sent by counsel. So,
thank you.
One more thing while you're here. Did the court actually get right this sort of who's got the burden at what stage in the mandamus proceeding?
Not perfectly clear. To be clear on that, we acknowledge that it is our burden as the state to prove clear and convincing evidence that the exemption applies after the requester demonstrates their prima facie showing that it is a public record and that they are an interested party.
Nebraska's version of the open records law permits an agency to release records that clearly fall within an exception, correct?
That's correct. It's a may.
It's a may. And so how does that affect the policy discussion that you were articulating before?
Well, in this case, given the nature of these documents, I think it compels us to resist their disclosure by lawful means, at least in this particular case, given that we're talking about personal impressions regarding people to be selected for security details for the state's chief executive. myriad policy reasons why we would want the interviewing impressions, if we have a lawful means to hold them back, to hold them back.
Do we have those records as part of the record that we review?
You don't.
Do we need those?
I don't think so, because I think there's other evidence that was, well, as a threshold question, to answer your question, Mr. Chief Justice, I think that would be, if that was something that Mr. Steckelberg thought the court needed to determine whether the court, the district court, clearly erred, then that would be his obligation. But notwithstanding that, there were affidavits that are in this court's record that I think support the district court's conclusion based on the testimony of the records custodians at the patrol, that there was no clear error in the district court's factual characterization.
How much do we know of that which was withheld?
Well, you certainly know what the affidavits indicated, and you know what the district court concluded based on its in-camera review, which again was assigned as error, but again is something that is specifically allowed for by the Public Records Act.
Thank you.
There are no other questions we would ask that this court affirm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, 2 minutes.
2 minutes and 24 seconds. We'll actually give you a little longer than that. We'll give you at least 3 minutes, Ms. Schiffer-Miller.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And I want to start off by asking you a question. Did your client suffer some kind of prejudice by the state's changing its position from subsection 15 to subsection 7 in the formal mandamus proceeding?
Judge, I believe that we did. I mean, first of all, you are, under the public meetings law, they are supposed to give you the records or else an explanation within 4 days. The matter was delayed for a long period of time, as I set out in my brief, because they initially said that we had to file within time that they could have an answer on file. And it was some 65 or 70 days later when they actually changed their position on what was to be provided. Do we suffer we've never been given copies of even Trooper Steckelberg's own information, and we have not even been allowed to look at the information, which I think the court should articulate some reason for their discretion. I agree the court has discretion on whether or not they allow us to look at the information at least. But I submit that if they're going to disallow it, that we should be spelled out in the record some reason for disallowing it. And furthermore, I think that when you look at it as a whole, and you look at subsection 15 versus subsection 7, this clearly fits within subsection 15 because it's the finalists for this position. And under subsection 15, the finalists for the position information is supposed to be provided. And that's a specific statute. Trooper Steckelberg was one of the finalists. And this information, the finalists for the position, that information is supposed to be provided.
Are you using this as one avenue of discovery for potential?
Sorry, Judge Wright. I'm not using this as discovery.
Well, I mean, you're trying to find out why you didn't get the transfer, aren't you?
Well, it's a public record. You know, the state has, there's rules in place that public records are to be released.
Well, but and if it was, if you interest. Had a specific discrimination complaint, could you ask for that in that particular action to produce those records?
We certainly would, but as indicated, they have filed a motion to dismiss. And it's been ruled upon by the judge once, and then we filed an amended complaint, and it's in the process of being reviewed, and we're not entitled to do discovery until they do that. And I submit to you, we are prejudiced by at least not having my own clients.
You're trying to find out what happened.
Well,
someplace,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think the state is entitled, the citizens are entitled to know that.
Candidly, though, it's not his role as citizen that he wants the information in. It's his role as I'm the affected employee.
Initially, it was just his role as I want to better myself so that I can make applications and please tell me, you know, what I can improve upon, which I think he didn't think he was going anywhere outside the ordinary to get that. And I submit to you, causes one concern that he couldn't even get his own information. And when the state has the burden of saying...
And when you say his own information, you're talking about his scores?
And the recommendations and whatever. If they thought he was a drunk that hung out in the bar, that's...
How much do we know about that which you haven't seen?
I know nothing.
If another employer was asking for this information, would your client be wanting that information released?
I don't know what the information is, and I would tell you that as an employment attorney, I see that subpoena daily. I mean, that happens all the time. But I think...
And it's complied with on a regular basis?
By subpoena, which is different than a public records request.
There's not objections filed, there's not a hearing held, determine relevancy.
We'll make short shrift of those objections if they are filed. It's almost like you can get that online. I mean, it's just about that bad. But this is the public records of the state. And it doesn't fit within any of those exemptions. And certainly, if they wish to exempt out other people's personnel information, the state has the burden to say that the exemption and why it fits. And I would submit, even on your own, the personnel record exemption, it's not, I would submit the state should give my client his own records unless they've got something to hide, which apparently
In-camera review go somewhere to ameliorating this?
I have no idea because I haven't seen any documents. I mean, the judge reviewed the documents, and she didn't allow
event? Is that somehow legitimately resolve the tension?
I don't believe it does because I think it's a public record, and the exemption claimed by the state clearly did not make it exempt, and even the exemption that they later claimed does not make it exempt.
Did you request that the in-camera reviewed records be included in the official record in a sealed or other capacity?
I did not. Okay. I don't have any authority to look at that document, so I'm not certain how I would have made
that. We don't have it in our record, even in a sealed fashion.
No. And I submit that without me having an opportunity and due process to present anything regarding that, I don't see how that could ameliorate the issues before the court. As able counsel stated, you do have affidavits in the records to say that it might cause, hard feelings, I guess is what he's saying. That should be sufficient to withhold it, but there's no hard feelings exemption to the records exception.
Back to the due process issue, was there any request for a continuance when the state changed their exception standard?
No. Okay. No, because they just came forward and said, this is our position now, and probably it was a mistake. They probably made a mistake, and if you look at
Initially,
I'm going to say they probably didn't intend to allow me to have access to those records, and the first position they took would have allowed that access. And the case cited by the state in this case talks about if you've made a mistake, through pure mistake, the government attorneys had not invoked the correct exemption in the district court. But they say in that circumstance, they have an additional burden to show that the information is highly confidential, compromising the nation's foreign relations or national security, and appeared highly likely intended to be protected by one of the 9 enumerated exemptions. So on page 8 of my brief, the August versus FBI case. So, you know, I guess I would submit that they can't change the position, and I think we haven't argued a lot about that, but I set it out fairly clearly in my brief. But in the event that they want to change their position, they need to have a little bit of a more burden of proof other than to say, you know, this is the proper exemption. Thank you, Your
Honor.
Thank you very much. Now, arguments have taken a little longer today than I anticipated, so the court is going to take a 10-minute break, and we'll be right back.